got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday, oh Tuesday, I'm so tired, got no time to play. Here come Wednesday, I'm beat to my side. My gal called, got to tell her that I'm out. Cause Thursday is a hard working day, and Friday I'll get my pay.
Blue Monday it is, my goodness me. I think it's made a little bit more depressing by what is going on in Afghanistan. That's Fats Domino, of course. A very appropriate song. Ed, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us on this, what do you call it, Afghan Exit Monday, August the 16th. We're going to be talking a lot about Afghanistan. But in a few minutes, Thomas Hoenig of the Mercatus Center is going to join us. We're going to talk about regulating cryptocurrency, as its worldwide value. Did you know it's hit $2 trillion? It's big time. If you ever thought it's something that's a passing fancy, think again. And as Afghanistan deteriorates, where is President Biden? Where is he? He seems to be in hiding. From now on, we may call him Hiding Biden. We're going to get some thoughts on that and a couple of other topics from the proprietor of the barber pole himself a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi. And the director for the National Institute of Health says if you do not get vaccinated, you're now a sitting duck for getting COVID. A sitting duck. Is that really true? Is it that catchable? We're going to talk about it. We're going to take a look. Stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 smartest animals in the world. We're going to discount humans, all right? They're the smartest. But after humans, the top 10. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, the best hair cutter for my money in Tampa Bay is Andrew Ceresi and his staff at the Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. It is right north of State Road 580 Main Street. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Give them a call to get your appointment, 727-733-3773. And of course, don't forget Good Morning Clearwater every Monday through Friday. They precede our show, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the great Tantalk Radio Network. Well, nothing but bad news right now. And the worst, maybe the worst part of all of this in terms of psychology is the failure of Joe Biden to make an appearance. Now, he decides to go to Camp David. Timing couldn't be worse, right? He decides we're going to pull out from Afghanistan. And off he goes to Camp David. And why are they pulling out now? And why have they made such a... Why is it such a mess after 20 years? Couldn't we have figured out a better way of getting out of there? Look at all of the chaos that's going on right now at the airport. Some of the scenes, it's just terrible. And people have died clinging to the airplane as they were taking off. Others have died as well in this confusion. Just a horrible situation. It says here, these are just updated things I've pulled off the wire here, that U.S. forces at the airport fired into the air in an attempt to gain control of the crowd that is so desperate to get the hell out. There's a video circulating showing Afghans clinging to the side of the plane in a desperate attempt to get out of to flee the Taliban. The Department of Defense preparing to immediately house thousands of Afghan refugees in American military installations. But where's Biden? Biden and Kamala Harris have avoided appearances on camera all the while this is going on this weekend. Biden's at Camp David, hiding under the bed most likely, where he took on a vacation retreat. He did release a statement on Saturday, although he would not go on camera. They have a picture of him sitting at this desk looking at this TV set or something. Don't know if that's supposed to show how interested he is in what's going on. I don't know. But he won't take any questions. Can you imagine him taking any questions? But he should. And he should go out there. Do you think Donald Trump would not have gone out there and said something? First of all, I think Trump would have said something before, during, you know, several times coming on. And I think he would take questions. I think that's what a president's job. Now, both Trump and Biden wanted to get out of Afghanistan. I don't think there's, I think there's a hard case to make to tell people why we should stay, actually, after 20 years. I think it's an easier case to say why we should leave. It's how we left. It's how we did it. And that's where I'm wondering, where is the thought? Is this just a last minute, hey, grab the suitcase, we're getting the hell out of here, you know? It just makes you lose even more confidence, if you had any, in our military intelligence or whatever you want to call it. Now, maybe Biden is not listening to them, but it seems to me that Biden is not the kind of person that makes everybody else stand down around him. He's almost the other way around. I could see Trump saying, look, I'm not going to listen. You know, here's what I'm going to do. Because, you know, Trump is very, he already knows, you know, where he's going. But I'm not sure about Biden. So who is behind this chaos in terms of our departure? That's, to me, that would be an interesting situation to examine. Who was behind all of the chaos? Now, I guess they claim that Biden is going to show his face one of these days. One of these days? If I was advising President Biden, I don't care what shape he's in, I would have him get out in front of the camera as soon as possible and make a statement of any kind, even if he doesn't take any questions, just to show that he's involved in this situation. So anyway, that's where we are right now. We'll be talking a little bit later in the show about what's going on in Afghanistan. This is the longest war we've ever been in.
Not that we miss her, but have you noticed that Kamala Harris is nowhere to be found either?
Yeah, and you know what? I don't know what she... I think it's Biden that needs to be.
I agree.
I don't care about Kamala Harris. I don't think most people care about her.
Why are both of them completely, it's almost like on purpose that they're out of sight.
I think Kamala is being hidden to some extent.
She's been in hiding for a while.
She's been the Republicans' best asset when she shows up in front of a camera. I think that they are hiding her. But Biden has got to make some sort of an appearance. I think he's.
Well, we couldn't have made a bigger announcement and an exact. An exact roadmap of how we were getting out of there.
It's the worst possible way.
We could have taken out an ad in the Afghan Tribune, for crying out loud, as to getting out of there that fast.
The worst possible way. It makes us look like we are complete nincompoops. Plus, can you imagine how many people will die because of the way that we've done this?
Yeah.
They already are, of course. It's very sad. The whole thing is sad. I'm worried about the people that were the interpreters and all of those associates that are there, that are stuck there. The Taliban is merciless in what they're going to do to people that they feel are sympathizers to the Americans. It's just going to, and the headlines coming out of there. Have you noticed that even the liberal press has turned on Biden? I mean, I was watching Jim Acosta's show yesterday. Nobody could be more in the tank for the Democrats, and he was going at. That's all they were talking about was Afghanistan. So, whatever honeymoon that Biden had, at least with this situation, long gone. Anyway, let us take our break, and we are going to change course a little bit. We're going to talk about the regulation of cryptocurrency.
Hey. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday and delighted to have Thomas Hennig join us. He is a senior fellow at the Mercatus Center and a great resume when it comes to talking about anything financial. He is a former vice chairman of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. He was with the Federal Reserve for 38 years, CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, and we've had him on before. Thomas, thank you very much for coming back.
I'm glad to be with you. Thank you for having me.
I tell you what, cryptocurrency, you know, this is something I think a lot of people thought maybe it would have been a fad, you know, a couple of years ago, but it's hanging on, and now apparently the combined value of what they call the cryptocurrencies of the world is what, $2 trillion? Really?
It's correct. That's what. That's the numbers that are keep being brought up. So whether it's $2 trillion or something less than that, something more, no one knows for sure, but that is certainly a range that it might be in by this day, given the volumes.
So most of us, like me, are kind of neophytes when it comes to cryptocurrency. You know, it's something you hear about, and you know that some people on the internet are dealing with it, but is it something that is like a threat? I'm using the word threat, a replacement perhaps for actual currency in your wallet? I mean, what do you think about its potential?
Well, I think its potential is greater than what we originally thought, like, as you said, 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. But it's certainly rising as an alternative means for the payment system. Now, remember, the criteria for money is, you know, store value, unit of account, and means of exchange. And cryptocurrencies are really, to begin with, a substitute in terms of asset values, because they, as they were introduced and their ability to expand was confined to a rule-based system called mining among users. So the volumes could be controlled to some extent and therefore hold its value. And when you think of that compared to the dollar, which has been expanding dramatically over the last 15 years in terms of these quantitative easing programs, people begin to think of it as a alternative. Now, it's not going to replace the dollar anytime soon, but as an alternative to put part of your wealth, I think it has risen in importance within the globe as well as within the United States. It also has certain features of transaction, not like going through your bank or writing a check, but it has the ability to convey value from one person to another or one entity to another, and therefore it's growing in importance as potential substitute for the dollar.
I would suspect that with the fears of inflation and the fact that the value of our dollar is really starting to shrink quickly, coming out of, if you want to call it, coming out of this COVID crisis, we're still in it. But we've got, we certainly, with our government spending the way we are, I think influencing perhaps the inflation that we seem to be in all of a sudden, of the price of gasoline, et cetera. I guess what I'm trying to ask you is if people are going to start treating cryptocurrency with more legitimacy or whatever it is because of what is going on with inflation.
I think the answer to that is yes. There is greater legitimacy around cryptocurrency as the dollar has exploded in terms of the volume of dollars out there, but also because the mainstream parts of the financial industry are taking it seriously as well. You see banks, some of the major banks, getting into the safekeeping of crypto or even beginning to think about exchanges for cryptocurrency. So as the mainstream begins to take it more seriously and to give it some respect, I think that adds to its credibility as an alternative to the dollar, holding dollars over time.
Now, Congress, as you say, has come to recognize that crypto and stable coins might be a little bit of a way of undermining their power, a little threat to their authority. Is that true? And what do you think they should do about it, if anything?
Well, I think they're interested in it. There's different motives for their interest in it. One of those motives is concern for the consumer who may not be as well-informed getting into this and therefore losing money. That is an often given reason for thinking about regulating it further. That's what you see the SEC talking about right now, for example. I think that's one motive. I think the other is if the cryptocurrencies or even some of the stable currencies became increasingly significant as a means of payment and a store of value, then it does begin to put more complexity to the central banks, not only here in the United States, but globally in their conduct of monetary policy, because your monopoly over the creation of money is compromised to some extent. And therefore, you look to that and you say, well, how do we deal with that to make sure we can still conduct monetary policy? And some of that may be through regulation and oversight of the cryptocurrency. And then the third thing you have to remember is some of these crypto providers are seeking, if you will, forms of deposit insurance even. We saw the Circle begin to talk about that, which gives them greater legitimacy and more people be willing to, of course, use that if it is somehow protected or insured by the public. So you have all kinds of sources coming into play here in terms of further legitimizing cryptocurrency and making it more user-friendly or consumer-friendly in the future. And that will involve further regulation as part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking with Thomas Hennig. He is a senior fellow at the Mercatus Center, which, of course, is at George Mason University. He is a former vice chairman of the FDIC. He's got a great track record, great resume. And we're talking about regulating cryptocurrency. Tom, is cryptocurrency, I always think of it as something on the Internet. You know, I mean, it's this invisible monetary system floating around. That's the way I look at it. I know I'm not looking at it accurately, but is it really an internet phenomenon?
Well, it is a to some extent an internet phenomenon, but it is principally kind of a recognition of the electronification of that is the digitization of currencies broadly. For example, most of your dollars, except for the currency you hold in your wallet, is digital. You conduct business on the internet with your bank. You make payments electronically. More and more, that's what money is becoming. It's being digitized, and so cryptocurrency is one dimension of that. It's a digital currency, and the internet is part of it. Digital clearinghouses is part of it. The decentralized nature of it through the internet is part of it. So it is increasingly, it is for sure a digital currency, and the internet is a major part of that.
Right. So how do you regulate it? How does Washington regulate this kind of thing here in the United States? How do you, you know, people using it online or however they use it and buying and selling, et cetera, how can you trace what they are doing with any effectiveness and regulate it?
Well, cryptocurrency is a pretty transparent means of transacting business. The sense of moving funds through blockchain is a fairly transparent method, but you would regulate it, I think, importantly through the exchanges, because when you want to change your crypto to dollars, you go through an exchange. Mm-hmm. When you want to change crypto from one currency, one crypto type, like Tether, to another that might be Bitcoin, you would go through an exchange. So you're going to start with the exchanges, and I think that's what you've seen in some of the legislation that's been recently proposed for regulating cryptocurrency. It's to have these exchanges report more of the transactions, and once you do that, then you begin to monitor and regulate through those exchanges.
So number one, Tom, it is going to occur. They are going to... are you saying that they are that Congress and Washington is going to clamp down a little bit and do more regulating than it currently is doing, and that it, secondly, that it's feasible to be able to track this exchange situation of converting dollars to some sort of crypto?
I think the answer is yes to both of those. I think that you're seeing it now, and as cryptocurrencies and as stablecoin currencies, that is a bit similar because they're backed by like dollars or something, but both cryptocurrency and stable currencies will become more regulated as they become more mainstream. It follows. One follows the other. And I think the using of exchanges, just like you use banks, and since banks are exchanges, you know, when I transact business with my utility provider, it goes through a bank, and it can be monitored in that way. So there will be increased oversight of the crypto business, I think, with time, especially as it becomes more mainstream. Yes.
As long as I've got you, Thomas, I'm going to ask you about this whole inflationary situation going on right now. Do you think that the Democrats, the Biden administration, are they with the big spending programs and packages that they're talking about right now, are they contributing? Is this contributing to the inflation that we are seeing right now?
Well, I think to the extent that you increase your spending, and remember, our spending went from $5 trillion to $9 trillion during the height of the pandemic. Now, most people supported that because it was transition. And so if you continue to move your spending from $5 trillion to $6 trillion to $7 trillion, and you continue to do it by borrowing more money, and our debt has gone from $23 trillion near $30 trillion now.
Oh, my goodness,
then
yes.
That will, of course, in time, contribute to greater inflation, depending on what you do with the taxes of your country and how you might constrain the economy that way. So those factors all come into play. And remember, too, the disruptions to the economy from the COVID will impact inflation, but certainly government spending that goes up and taxes, you don't increase taxes. And whether you like taxes or don't, I'm talking just the economics of it, you will see, I think, greater inflationary pressures in the future, yes.
Wow. We could talk for a long time on some of that. Thomas, thank you so very much for coming on, talking about cryptocurrency.
Sure.
And I look forward to talking with you again.
All right. Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thomas Henning. All right. Let's take our break. When we come back, where is Biden? I think he's in hiding. We're going to get some thoughts on that and a couple other topics from the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Should we call this an Exit Afghanistan Monday, Ed? I'm beginning to think, because, I mean, every news source is talking nothing but Afghanistan right now. It's just completely dominating the news.
I haven't seen such a fast exit since the Indianapolis Colts in 1983, I think it was, when they pulled the Mayflower up in the middle of the night and packed everything up and ran.
Oh, okay.
Remember that?
I don't, but that was a quick exit.
When they moved to Indianapolis?
Oh, from Baltimore.
Baltimore Colts, yeah.
Yeah, the Baltimore Colts did a middle-of-the-night exit. Yeah, exactly right. That's true. Robert Irsay.
Yeah.
Robert Irsay.
Yeah.
Well, this is the middle of the day, and world leaders are speaking out. Boris Johnson, Prime Minister of England, went so far as to pin the blame on Joe Biden for the way he said it was handling this thing. Johnson said it's fair to say that the decision to pull out has in many ways been a chronicle of an event foretold. He said it's important that the West work collectively to get over to that new government. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says he's heartbroken by the way things are going and the situation the Afghans find themselves in today. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison also said his government would redouble efforts to evacuate people in Afghanistan. Anyway, we've got both of the Ceresi brothers, both Andrew and Angelo. We got to talk Afghanistan, guys, first, because I don't know that anybody disagrees that we should get out eventually. But the way that we're doing it, Andrew, could Biden have done it any worse than he did it?
He's disgusting, Paul. He's hiding. He doesn't come out to say a word of how he messed up everything. It's impeachable grounds as far as I'm concerned. They need to get rid of him and Harris. They're both hiding.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
I think it is too, actually. He's hiding.
They armed the Taliban now. They're probably one of the second strongest armies around with all the equipment they've got.
It's the way that we did this. Somebody made a good point, Angelo. I don't know if you heard it. Why didn't we wait till they have a Ramadan or a religious period, and they tend to be less active. I'm saying the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, during that period. We might have been able to get away with getting out of here, you know, a lot more, safely. What do you think?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think there's any
good way to get out of a situation like that, whether it's a religious holiday or a regular national holiday or something like that. It just reminds me of how Saigon fell back in 1975. I mean, I was so bitter and angry, I even broke the railing in my house.
Wow.
My wife was so afraid of me that she took the kids and
hid them.
My granddaughter ran upstairs.
Wow. You really?
My daughter ran upstairs. I was so furious and so angry. You know, don't forget, I was there, you know?
Yes, I know you were.
And I can understand and feel the same way that the Afghan veterans here in the United States feel. They got to feel the same way as I did.
That's a very good point, Angelo. It is a very good point. Now, I've heard some vets say that we should have gotten out of there. I mean, let's be honest. There's a lot of veterans that say, why were we there? But then there were a lot of veterans that came back from Vietnam going, why were we there?
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is, if you're going to fight a war, I mean, we're told that at the time, we were stopping the spread of communism over there rather than our own shores. Here in Afghanistan, we're fighting the war on terror because they protected Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda is the one that attacked the United States. I still say they attacked us, you know, on September the 11th. We were attacked on September the 11th, and we were fighting them over there. You know, I mean,
yeah.
And there was no good way to pull out of a situation. Let's face it, we're in a war. You don't just pull out of something. You have to fight it to win. And we stayed there so that Al-Qaeda couldn't regroup over there and come and attack the United States again.
Right. Andrew, there's such shades of Vietnam in this thing. And originally, you know, I think everybody agreed. We went over there because Osama bin Laden, we figured, was hiding somewhere in Afghanistan. We finally found him. And I think we had a cause at that point. But once we knocked off Osama bin Laden, it's like, what the hell were we doing? What was the game plan, you know?
Well, you're going to go to war. You go to war to win. When you play football, you play to win, don't you?
Yes, I agree with
you. Not just to push the other team away from your goal line. We should have annihilated ISIS when we had the opportunities. We should have taken them off the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm. I think you make a very good point. There's a famous quote from Napoleon. I may have used it with you a few times. I don't know. But Napoleon once said, if you want to take Vienna, take Vienna. In other words, don't dilly-dally doing all of these other things, you know, like we did in Vietnam, where we were expending human lives, I think, to do a maintenance program over there. Right, Angelo?
Yes, yes. We lost so many lives. I mean, look what happened. I mean, over 58,000 lives were lost. How many lives were lost in Afghanistan? What did we, you know, like you said, we took out Osama bin Laden. We did what we had to do, destroy ISIS, and get the heck out of there. That's all.
I think so.
I mean, you have to fight a war. You fight it to win. You don't dilly-dally around and say, well, we're going to do this. I understand. We were trying to bring, like, a democracy. I mean, these people have been living like a freedom that they never had before.
But you're not going to change their culture. That's another thing.
Right. We're not going to change their culture at all.
But we seem to think that we can bring, like you said, and I think you're right, legitimate, bring democracy over there. Well, for thousands of years, these people have been, in a way, they're almost indicative of an earlier era of humanity. Do you know what I mean?
They live in their biblical days, Paul.
Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
They live there in the biblical days.
Yes.
Okay? They live like savages.
That's yeah.
The way they want to live, fine. But I can tell you this, it's a very sad day for the United States of America with the disgusting administration we have running this country. The people that voted for this animal should be ashamed of themselves to even say they're American.
You know, even the...
I want to know one thing. How many presidents do you know have begged the enemy, please don't burn down our embassy? How many presidents do you know begging OPEC, we need more oil? This man is on his knees. He's a disgusting pig.
Remember when he gave Putin a list of things that they could not do when it came to cyber warfare? These it's like, here's what will really hurt us. Don't do any of this. I mean, it's the same kind of...
Paul, I'm going to listen to the Voice of Treason Thursday because I want to hear what good they've got to say that this administration has done, because they should be really proud. They should be hiding under their freaking chairs right now. It's disgusting.
Oh, those two guys, yeah, they're very interesting. I will be listening as well to hear what they want to say. I want to go to another topic, which in a way might be connected because it involves our security. Right now we're worried that with the overrun of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda seeping back into Afghanistan, but at the same time, we're getting close to September the 11th. And there's concern now with our open, porous southern border that something might happen to with a Muslim, a terrorist attack, God forbid.
Well, hopefully they attack the Capitol when they're all sitting there at one of their meetings for critical race theory.
Yes,
that would be the best thing that could happen, Paul.
It could. Yes, I begin to wonder. But seriously, is there?
You know, where's Miss Pelosi? I haven't heard her mouth shooting off lately.
I think she lost her.
Schumer, the other one, huh?
Her false.
They're worried in this country about race, and these people are a bunch of jerks.
I can hear the anger. I don't blame you. I mean, it does seem like we focus on this nonsense, this complete nonsense in our schooling system, and then in the real world with all of this stuff going on, we ignore it. Oh, let the borders be open. Let's get out of here and get out of there and forget it. You know,
these people that are the soul singers, okay, they're going to sit there and be the first ones to cry like babies when they come over here and slit their freaking throats, Paul.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Wow. There's a lot of anger out there. What about, Andrew, the DeSantis watch? I read something, I think it was in the Sunday Tampa Bay Times, about the way that DeSantis goes on Fox News and some of the conservative talks. It was a hit piece, actually, about DeSantis, you know.
Oh, did you see where change.org is trying to get signatures to get Ron recalled?
Oh, you're kidding. No, I didn't.
No, I saw that.
They got 1,000 signatures. Go for the gusto, you moron.
Angelo, you got your own issues with your governor or soon-to-be ex-governor. What do you think about the replacement for Governor Cuomo?
Well, she's a Democrat.
Of course.
She ran a ticket with him.
Need you say more?
She's probably going to do the same thing, maybe, you know, in a different way, you know. But, you know, the only thing, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And the only thing that changes are the players.
So should the Cuomo brothers... Andrew and his brother that's on CNN, should they form some sort of a dancing and singing duo and take it to MSNBC, or do you think that they're out of the you know, the camera business? What do you think?
I think they are.
I think no comebacks. What do you think, Andrew? Is there a comeback?
What are they going to come back with, Paul?
I don't know.
Come back with nothing. No, they're done. They're done. Party's over.
Okay, well, you know.
And you know what? The Democrat governor over there is going to do the same thing as Cuomo did. New York is done.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the people start standing up. The American people need to stand up and get through this crap that they're going through here.
Mm-hmm.
Race theory. And my feelings are hurt. Please change my freaking diaper.
Yeah.
Wake up, America.
Yeah. Do you think...
I don't think we could ever win another war. Our allies right now have got to be saying you can't trust the United States with their word or anything.
Well, because all they come in and do is a maintenance program.
Right.
Now everybody's, you know, our country has been the best when it comes to going over and trying to help other countries. Let's remember that our country is the best.
That's right.
We're absolutely the best, but we've become unreliable in terms of what we'll do.
Because
now we're acting like every other country.
Yeah.
We have no leadership.
Look at Australia today. They can't send their army anywhere because they got to make sure their own people stay locked down in their house.
Yeah.
These people better wake up in this world. I'm telling you, the only thing going to save this world today is being attacked by aliens, and they'll all be scared to crap.
Then we'll get together, huh?
That's the only thing, Paul.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't want to bust your guys' bubble as far as Thursday, but tuning into Thursday, see what they have to say about Afghanistan.
What's Thursday?
It's the Voice of Treason. They will treat it as they did the border and Cuomo, as in they won't bring it up. And if they
do, if they do,
2 words in a preview, Trump's fault.
Yeah, that's all they know.
Mark it down.
Put them in a conversation with me on this one. I want to see what these wimps are really made of.
Oh, goodness.
They're going to blame Trump again. You know that.
Yeah, sure. They got to blame somebody because they blame somebody for their freaking life the way it is. Who are they kidding? They blame everything on everybody else. That's how they are.
Are we trying to give the Voice of Reason a ratings bump?
Maybe it should be live at the Master Barbershop.
Now, that would be something. Hey,
wait a minute, there's sharp objects.
He could cut Joe Reinhardt and
make it out alive.
There's sharp objects.
Joe Reinhardt and Ed Gulley could get a haircut while doing the show. And I never thought of that. That would be a grand idea.
Could I use my straight razor?
Oh, boy. You know what? We're being a little bit facetious here. We love our competitors. They happen to have a different opinion than we do. And it will be interesting. Let's see how quickly they do get to the topic of Afghanistan and how Joe Biden is handling it. Gentlemen, it is a
pleasure. He's hiding.
Is Biden in hiding? Is that what we're saying?
He's hiding again. That's all he's doing.
We're going to call him hiding. We're going to call him Hiding Biden. Hiding Biden. Yeah. Angelo, Andrew, it's always a pleasure for you guys to come on. Thank you so very much. Andrew, I look forward to talking with you again tomorrow.
You got it. So much.
All right. All right, the Brother Ceresi. All right, let's take our final break. When we come back, among other things, the director of the National Institute of Health says if you do not get vaccinated, you are a sitting duck to get the COVID.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I love that music that we come in and go out of. Ed always picks up some classy music that we like. Well, I'll tell you what, this latest variant of the COVID virus, the Delta variant, is very, very catchable. I don't know if I had mentioned it. But a dear colleague, I guess you could say, of mine, he comes over and does a lot of work around my house. He's a jack of all trades. Has come down with the Delta COVID, and he's been feeling very, very bad. And Andrew, the master barber, his wife Nicole, she's also come down with it, and she's struggling right now. So there's no question about the catchability, is that the word? The catchability of this latest Delta variant. National Institute of Health Director Francis Collins warning unvaccinated Americans, go get your shots. And not only that, even if you've got your shots, he wants everybody to go back to wearing masks. Now, we can argue all we want about how strong or devastating or potent or whatever the word is for this latest variant, but it's very catchable. It's very catchable. CDC records now show there are about 130,000 daily new cases. 130,000. If that's true, that's a lot of people catching it. That's up more than 700% from last month. Did you know that? That the numbers for catching the virus are up nearly 700% from last month. Here's what Francis Collins, the NIH director, says. I will be surprised if we don't cross 200,000 cases a day in the next couple of weeks. And he says the Delta variant, which is so contagious, he said 90 million people are still unvaccinated, and he said they're sitting ducks. The 90 million that are unvaccinated are sitting ducks for this virus. So I've changed my tune a little bit on it. Maybe it's because of the Delta virus. For a while, I was thinking that,
I don't like the way they're enforcing it.
Right.
Because, you know, especially in New York, you have to have your card to get into a restaurant.
Yes.
Now, there's two things I don't like about that. Number one is you're leaving it up to the restaurants to have to police it, which is put more burning on. And here they are fighting for business. What happens?
They don't want this.
What happens if a group of 20 comes in and one person does not have their thing? Are you going to turn that entire group away?
That's right. No, you're right. This is something, this is another not thought out idea.
Yeah, exactly.
I would leave commercial businesses to their own decisions on how they are going. They don't want a reputation for getting people sick from a virus.
I mean,
they're going to monitor their own places in the way they think best.
I'm vaccinated. If I go into a restaurant and it says, We allow both, even people without a mask, because not everybody's adhering to that if they haven't been vaccinated wearing a mask. They're not doing it. But listen, I've been vaccinated. That's all I'm worried about. I'm vaccinated. I don't care about anybody else.
Well, I know you.
That's why I got it.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And you feel comfortable going into a place now. And you're probably right. There's probably a very, very small chance. Would you endorse everybody going and getting the, I'm sure you would. Everybody should get
the
vaccine.
But Paul, there are going to be people that don't put vaccines in their body, period. It doesn't matter what it is.
Always.
But I'm aiming at the ones that say, I'm not doing it because Biden is in control of it.
Yeah, we
or
don't
he
need
switched
that.
The serum, or you know, there's a chip in there. You know, come on.
That's right. So you're saying that if people don't get conspiratorial and just make some sort of a common sense decision.
Sure. Then be prepared to get it and get over it. You know?
Right. All right, my friend, it is time for our top 10. Very interesting show we've had so far, right? But we've got a little diversion here. This is from howstuffworks.com. I want to see, Ed, if you know, we don't include humans, but the top 10 smartest animals. Years and years ago we did it, but we did it with a different measuring stick. So here we go. The top 10 smartest animals. Number 10. The rat.
Really?
Did you know how smart a rat is? Highly intelligent, much maligned animal, widely used in research. The rat has been known to find shortcuts, loopholes, and escape routes in the lab experiments designed by top scientific minds.
Mm.
They're smart.
Yeah.
Number 9. You thought that was strange. Wait till you hear this one. Octopus. An octopus.
I've seen them hunt.
They're smart.
Yeah.
Octopuses, I guess that's what you call them, or is it octopi?
Octopi?
Octopuses. solve problems, they play, they navigate through mazes, and they have respectable short-term memories.
And I love the way they shoot the die when they're in trouble and confused.
No, that's a squid.
Oh, that's a squid? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it's a
okay.
different
yeah, 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 yeah. You're right, you're right, right, you're right.
An octopus
right.
doesn't do that.
Right.
But an octopus has a large, proportional, large mammal brain, mm-hmm. or proportion to a mammal, a large brain, that's what I meant. Okay, number eight, the pigeon. Now, you've heard of passenger pigeons, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
They will fly back and forth. They have great
yeah.
memories.
You just tie a little note. Isn't that how you communicated with your friends?
No.
Oh.
We used rocks. Okay. If you would tie a string to one rock and a string to
the
other.
The dinosaur would kick it down the street.
Now, pigeons can recognize hundreds of images even after several years have passed. They've got great memories, really. Number seven, I found this one interesting. A squirrel. Now, you know squirrels can be tame, right? You've seen a tame squirrel.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
The animal's dogged persistence and impeccable memory have made it the nemesis of gardeners. Most squirrels display an impressive array of tricks and strategies that help them survive. Mm. Okay, number six. And everybody that knows anything about animals knows that the pig is smart. Number six
yes,
is the pig.
Yeah.
Both domestic and wild, they're known for their ability to adapt to a variety of different ecological conditions. They are pets and trainable.
Mm.
Okay, number five. Did you know the crow is very smart? The crow is number five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Crows living in urban areas in Japan have been observed gathering nuts from trees, placing them in the street, waiting for passing cars to crack open the shells, then walking back out patiently, waiting for the light to change, return to the street to retrieve their gifts. So they, you know, they are not dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, the elephant. Elephants are
very
quite,
smart.
They are. Quite curious. They're very trainable. They can recognize up to 30 relatives from their urine scents.
And so sad to see them grieve.
And that's right. Yeah. And they are grieved. They are very familial. You know, family. Okay, number three. An orangutan. Well, we know that anytime it's in the monkey family, an orangutan, great ape, considered very smart. They stand out as being especially gifted in the brains department. They can weigh costs and benefits when exchanging goods. Okay, number two. The dolphin. They're smarter than almost any other creature on the planet. They have a sophisticated language, though humans have only begun to unravel it. They use tools in their natural environment and can learn an impressive array of behavioral commands. All right, Ed.
I gotta go with probably the chimpanzee. I don't know.
Bingo. The chimpanzee. They are so smart. Most amazing feature, ability to use symbols for objects and combine the symbols in a sequence to convey a complex idea.
And use tools to catch things. That's great.
They can do that. We know that already.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much. We will be back tomorrow, Tuesday. Please remember that freedom works.